I can't talk without moving my hands, and so praise the Lord for that. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter number 18. Psalm chapter number 18. I love the Word of God. It's always an encouragement to me, even in the low times and the valleys. God is always good. And it's exciting to have the Word of God, to be able to read, to be able to be encouraged, to be able to know what to do for the next step, all of those things. And so it's a joy to have the Bible. I would invite you to stand with me as we read one verse of Scripture this morning out of respect for the Word of God in Psalm chapter number 18. And we're going to read verse number 30. The Bible says here, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." I was meditating on this chapter this week, and even this weekend as I got to travel up with Logan and things, I was reading through some of this passage and just meditating upon it and writing some things down. And this phrase, verse 30, said, "As for God, His way is perfect." And I'm going to preach a message to you this morning entitled, "His Way is Perfect." And the things that God does, we may not always understand it and understand how God works, but His way is always perfect. And I'm going to preach that to you this morning and some things that we know God is and what He does. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the main goal is that you trust Him. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He wants you to trust Him today. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we love You. Thank You so much for the day that You've given to us. Thank You for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You use me as Your mouthpiece this morning. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, help me not to get in the way of Your Holy Spirit's moving. Lord, may You strengthen those that are discouraged. Lord, may You encourage us today through Your Word. Lord, we ask You, please, to convict the lost. Lord, and draw them to Yourself. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Brother Travis, if you can turn us down a little bit. I feel like there's a little bit of an echo in it, but I appreciate Brother Travis back there and keeping things where you guys can hear me. If it weren't for the microphones, I don't think you all would be able to hear me, you know, because I'm so quiet and things like that. And I'll get right to lying here in just a moment. Amen. All right. His way is perfect. I began to think about God, and the Bible says His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. But as I began to go through this passage of Scripture, and I began to glean on some things, I love how God ties things together. I was talking to Brother Doug before the service, and told his Sunday school lesson that he taught this morning, and how it blends in with what God laid on my heart to preach this week. And that's why it's important. That's why we don't have a convention that tells us what to preach. That's why we don't have people that tell us what to preach. We let God tell us what we're going to preach, because He knows exactly what you need. He knows where you are. He knows what you need, when you need it. And so I know I needed this. And I don't believe that I could stand up here and preach the Bible unless I've gotten some help from it. I think there's some things that I needed to get help with through this and encouraged through this and strengthened through this so that I can try to be a blessing and a help to you. But I'm glad it's the Word of God that doesn't return void. It's not my words, it's God's words. And if God said it, that settles it. Amen. And so it doesn't matter what the world thinks about it. This is God's Word, and it's true, and His way is perfect. And that verse says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried." The Word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. I began to go through this passage, and I believe that God allowed David to write this psalm as he was going through here. And God showed him what way he had and the way of God in David's life. And David writes about it in this passage. And we're going to look at it, and all throughout Scripture, there's multiple references to how God is in this. But I want you to see, firstly, His way is perfect. First off, the way of God is this. First off, I want you to know He delivers. He delivers from all that we have. Look at verse number 2. It said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. You see there, verse 2, he said he was my deliverer. I want you to look at verse number 17 as we go down through here. He said, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. I want you to see nextly, verse 19. It says, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Look at verse number 43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Look at verse number 48 of the same passage. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. I want you to know, if God says something one time in his word, then it's very important. But if it's said over and over and over again, guess what? We ought to take notice of what he's saying there. And I want you to understand, David's writing here, and he's in the way of God for his people. And he said that God delivered him. And I want you to see a couple things about the deliverance of God and his way as being perfect. Firstly, I want you to see God delivers from hell. He delivers from hell. You say, what's that mean? That means he can set you free from hell today. He can deliver you from the muck and the mire of this world, from the sin which does so easily beset us. He can deliver you today. I want you to take your Bible to Psalm chapter number 86. Psalm chapter number 86. You may say, preacher, why do you use so much scripture? Because it's not Dan Caldwell's words that pierce hearts. It's God's word that pierces hearts. I want you to see Psalm 86 and verse number 13. Look what the Bible says there. It says, for great is thy mercy toward me, for thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. I want you to see, firstly, God delivers from hell. If you're in this room today and you're not saved, you're not going to go to heaven because you're a good person. You're not going to go to heaven because you come to church. You're not going to go to heaven because you've given the offering plate. Jesus said in John 14:6, he saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. His way is perfect. The way that God has made it for you to go to heaven is perfect. And the only way that plan could be made perfect is the one who is perfect, came down here and dwelt among us, lived on this earth, sinless, so that he could be the sacrificial lamb for you and I. His perfect God blood was shed for you and I. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The only way for you to be delivered from hell. In that verse of scripture that we read there, it didn't say that my good works delivered me from the lowest hell. He said, thou delivered me from the lowest hell. If you're in this room today and you're saved, you can rejoice in the fact that you're delivered from hell. You don't have to go to hell. You know why? Because Jesus Christ paid your debt for you. He died, was buried, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and is able to give life eternal if you'll just put your faith and trust in him. And I want you to know today that God loves every person in this room. And there's people that have said to me, well, you don't understand what I've done. I'm too wicked for God to save me. I want you to understand, he died for all sin. All sin he died for. The Bible says, by one man's sin, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, because of Adam's disobedience and obeying God, sin was passed upon all men. And because of that, now there had to be a sacrificial lamb. And God gave that picture in the garden when Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Guess what they were doing? They were trying to do it their way. They were trying to cover themselves their way, and God said, no, that's not acceptable. It has to be my way. Because his way is perfect. His way is perfect. The only way for you to go to heaven today is by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is no in between. And you can be delivered from hell today if you're not saved. You can trust him today, and he will rejoice in that fact. And we'll talk about this here in a little bit. I'm not going to try to get ahead of myself there. But I want you to understand something. There's nobody in this church who's saved that's going to frown at you or laugh at you if you trust Christ as their Savior. We're going to rejoice in the fact, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved today. That is the main message. That's why God has left us on this earth. If we're saved, we're God's children. God has left us here to preach the gospel to every creature, to let them know that they're on their way to hell. I want you to understand something, and I was actually talking with Frank and his wife there this week. If you actually understood the reality of a real hell and where your friends, where your neighbors, where your loved ones are going to be spending eternity, it ought to motivate you to get out there and tell them how they can escape it. Because God desires to deliver from hell. And if you're saved here, guess what? You've been delivered from hell. Praise the Lord for that. What a joy it is that God keeps you in His hand. I've had people say, well, can you lose your salvation? Well, the Bible says that we don't gain it ourselves. God does it for us. We just believe in what He's already done, putting our faith and trust in Him. And since He's the one that does it, He's the one that keeps us, He's the one that would have to lose us. And God can't lose us. You know, He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. The good thing I like about that is those are big, hard to understand words, aren't they? Eternal is how long? Forever. Never means never. Okay? That means you're going to be saved forever and you're never going to perish in hell. Why? Because you've been delivered from hell. He delivers us. David's writing in Psalm 18, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And several times in this passage, like five or six different times, he mentions that he was our deliverer. He delivered me. He delivered me. He delivered me. So not only does God deliver from hell, but I want you to understand he delivered from the heathen. Look at verse number 43. It said, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. You say, what does that mean? The definition of the word heathen is people who do not acknowledge God or an irreligious person. You know what that means? Is that means we don't have to worry about what the world thinks about us because God is the one that we're living for. I don't have to worry about the world telling me that I'm not supposed to preach the gospel. I'm supposed to do it because God tells me to. I don't have to worry about them. God will deliver me from them. You say, well, what if they kill you? Then guess what? I was delivered from them, wasn't I? Because I go to heaven. See, He'll deliver us from the world. Satan is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy us. But you need to be steadfast in following the way of the Lord because His way is perfect. And if you're following His way, guess what? He said He'll make you head of the heathen. Does that mean that you're going to be in charge of everybody? No. Guess what it means? He's going to deliver you from them. He'll deliver you from them. I've read so many stories of martyrs who have died for their faith. Different stories of people who have been killed or persecuted because of their faith in God. And through that time of turmoil, through that time of heartache, through that time of discouragement and that time of pain and agony, God was there delivering them through it. Remember Paul when he was stoned? Isn't that something how Paul was there at the stoning of Stephen? But then outside of Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. I believe, Brother Shane, during that time, God delivered him. You know why? Because he got up. And guess what? He went back into the same city that just stoned him. Why? Because he was delivered. So many times they were trying to kill him. So many times they were trying to do this. But God delivered him from the heathen. God's our deliverer today. You say, well, I'm worried about what they may do to us. You don't have to worry about them. Because you're walking in the way of God. And if you're walking in the way of God, nothing the world can do to us can harm us. You say, well, what if it hurts us? Guess what? We may suffer physical pain, but the Bible says lay up treasures in heaven. It doesn't matter what the world may do. We're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, so therefore we're delivered from it. You say, well, what if it means my life? Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Guess what? If we die for the cause of Christ, that's a joy. That's a joy. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of harsh. You think it'll ever get that way? Yes, I do. You know why? Because evil men will wax worse and worse. You know why it's important for you younger generation to get on fire for God? Because times are getting worse and worse than they've ever been. And it's important for you to walk in the way of God. Why? Because His way is perfect. He's our deliverer. He wants to deliver your soul from hell. He wants to deliver you from hell. He'll deliver you from the heathen. But not only does God deliver us, He also delights in us. He also delights in us. Look at verse 19 of this passage in Psalm 18. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me. Why? Because He delighted in me. He delighted in me. Isn't that amazing that God delights in us? That God delights in us. He delights in His people. Listen, I told you, you could be delivered from hell, and God delights in the forgiveness of sins. He delights in that. He delights in people being saved. He delights when His children come back to Him. He delights in that. I want you to look quickly at Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Let me give you a scripture for these things. Matthew chapter number 9. Look what it says. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on his bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He said, be happy. Why? Because your sins are forgiven. I'm happy that I get to forgive your sins. You need to be happy they're being forgiven. Look also, if you would please, flip backwards to Micah. Micah chapter number 7. Look what it says in verse number 18. Who is God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He refraineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. Listen, God delights in the forgiveness of sins. He delights in that. He delights in forgiving sins. It brings joy. He delights in mercy. A lot of people picture God as this big being up there with a wand that's ready to strike you dead the first time you do something wrong. Listen, God delights in mercy. You know why? Because He loves you. He cares about you. You know what, my children? I don't enjoy chastening my kids. That doesn't bring joy to me. I don't sit there and say, ha, sweetheart, they disobeyed. Isn't this wonderful? I don't do that. You know why? It breaks my heart. And it breaks God's heart when we do wrong. And you know what? He delights in having mercy. When we ask for forgiveness of sin, He delights and says, yes, I'll give it to you. If we confess our sins. 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He delights in having mercy upon us. He delights in seeing the forgiveness of our sins. He delights in that. One of the biggest things in the Bible, I believe, that reference this is Luke chapter number 15, the parable of the prodigal son. As I begin to picture this, we know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in this passage, starting in verse number 11, I want to share something with you that maybe you've never seen in this passage before. But hopefully, I know there's nothing new under the sun, but I want you to see something that I got to see here recently, and it was a tremendous, tremendous blessing to me. Verse number 11, it says, And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey in the far country. There wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent into him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain to have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough even to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Sounds like an excited dad to me, doesn't it, you? Sounds like somebody who's delighting in his son returning where he's supposed to be. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best of the robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know what he was doing? He was identifying him as his son, as an heir to the father in this passage. And look what he says, verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. When I look at this passage, I begin to think about how the father delighted in showing mercy to his son. The custom of this day was if a child went wayward against their mother and father, the only way that they could die with a good name, the only way that that could be restored is if there was a sacrifice that was made. Usually it demanded stoning of that child or of that wayward one. But here's a picture of that son coming back to his father. And his father, Brother Shane, runs and hugs him and kisses his neck, and he puts a robe on him and a ring on his finger and says this. He said, kill the fatted calf. Guess what there was? There was a substitutionary sacrifice for his son. What his son should have paid, the father said, I'm taking that. And there's a representation of what Jesus has done for us. You understand something? We're His children. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to His account. When we get wayward, He's there waiting for us to come back to Him. He didn't leave us. We left Him. Just like this story. But when He's coming back, guess what that was a representation of? When He looks at us, Brother Josh, and He sees us coming back, He runs and He hugs us and He says, this is my son. He was dead and is alive. You know why? There's a sacrifice that was made for him. And he can still be my son no matter what he had done in the past. He's still my child. And I love him. Guess what? He delights in the forgiveness of sins. He delights in mercy. There's a lot of people who say, well, I can't come to God. You just don't understand what I've done. God knows it all. He bore it all upon Himself on the cross. He knows your sins. He knows what you've done. And He said, let him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. He delights in mercy. He delights in the forgiveness of sins. But not only does He delight in the forgiveness of sins, He also delights in fellowship with the saints. He delights in fellowship with the saints. Guess what? God likes to spend time with you. He likes to spend time with you. You ever been in the presence of somebody that you just didn't click with? You didn't get along with them? You ever been in the presence? You know what? You can be cordial and have a good time, but you're just not really comfortable. You know, you're just not really, you're not delighting in that circumstance because you're not really comfortable around that person. We've all been there. But guess what? The Bible says God delights in us. In fellowship with the saints. He delights in fellowship. And if you look at Jeremiah chapter 9, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches. He said, but let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. For I am the Lord thy God. I exercise judgment and righteousness in the earth. In these things do I delight. Well, who is God's judgment towards? Us. Who's His righteousness towards? Us. Guess what? God delights in you. He delights in you. Isn't that something, Brother Travis, that we who are sinners, who are deserving of hell, but because of the blood of Christ has been applied to our account, we become a joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Bible says, but we still mess up, we still do wrong things, but God delights in spending time with us. A holy God. A just God. A God who cannot have sin. He delights in fellowship with us. But when we do wrong, guess what happens? It breaks fellowship. See, that son, he was his dad's son, but when he went his own way, he broke fellowship with his father. The father never left. The son was the one that left. And when he came back, guess what he said? There was a sacrifice that was made for him. Though he deserves to die, he's still my son. He's coming back. And I want everybody to know, this my son was dead and is alive. He's lost and is found. I don't think the father was like, okay, go kill the calf. Bring me a robe. Yeah, here, put this on. Give me a ring. Put that on his hand. Yes, good to have you back. No, he ran to him with joy and excitement. Why? Because he realized his son was back. He delighted in fellowshipping with his son, forgiving his sin and fellowshipping with him. And he tells us that we ought not to glory in the things of the world, but we ought to glory in God. What a rave about God and boast about God, because guess what? He delights in us. He delights in us. I want you to look at Psalm 149, if you would please. Psalm 149. You say, well, where does the Bible say that He takes pleasure in us and has joy in us? I'm glad you asked. Psalm 149 and verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud upon their beds. Guess what? Why should we sing? Why should we be rejoicing today? Why should we be excited about being a child of God, being His child? Because He delights in fellowshipping with us. Not only are we saved, Ms. Tara, from hell, we get to spend time with God. And He delights in it. He's excited about it. When we open up our Bibles in the morning and we get down on our knees in prayer and we begin to talk with Him and we begin to walk with Him and we begin to look at His way and follow His way, He's excited about it and He's delighting about it. He's saying, I have pleasure in my people. I enjoy it. Guess what? I love my family. I enjoy being with them. I enjoy being with my wife. I enjoy being with my kids. I take pleasure in them. I enjoy them. You know why? I love them. I care for them. I like to spend time with them. And that's how God is with us. He delights in His people. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. This is where I was talking with Brother Doug. He used this verse in his Sunday school class this morning. And I was telling him, I said, you know what, it's amazing how God puts things together. But Philippians chapter number 2. Great passage talking about what God did for us, how He took upon Himself the form of a servant, how He was made in the likeness of men. And he goes down through in verse 10, he said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, verse 12, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Guess what? He takes pleasure in your Christian growth. He takes pleasure in your walk with Him. He enjoys it. Brother Doug was talking about that, how when God works in you and you work out what you have just learned, God is rejoicing over that. He takes pleasure in those things. It said He takes pleasure to will and to do of His good pleasure. He said, it's my pleasure to be able to work in them, because guess what they're doing? They're taking the truths of my word and they're following my way and they're doing the things that I want them to do, and it brings delight and joy in His life. Listen, He delights in you. He delights in you. He's a friend, the Bible said, that sticketh closer than a brother. Guess what? He's closer than any Facebook friend you have. He is. He's closer than any physical friend that you have. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He delights in your presence. You know what? I got to take Logan this week to Mount Salem, and I enjoy Mount Salem. I enjoy being there. But guess what? I wanted to get home. Not just because I was tired, but I had a family at home. I wanted to get home and I wanted to see them. You know what? I'm glad there weren't any police officers around when I was coming home, because I wanted to get home and see my family. You know, I'm glad they pulled the person over in front of me before I got to them. Amen. And I enjoyed it. Why? Because I took pleasure in being home. I wanted to get home and be with my family. And listen, God takes pleasure in us. He wants to spend time with us. God is sad. He's sorrowful when His people decide, I'm not going to talk to Him today. You know how sad it would make my wife if I came home and she said, hey, honey, how are you? And I just went. And she said, how was your day? And my kids ran up, hey, daddy, how are you? I never said anything. They'd be pretty sad, wouldn't they? Guess what? God's saying, I desire to talk to you. I desire to fellowship with you. I desire to be with you, but we give God the silent treatment so many times until something comes up that we need or something comes up that we want. Then we go to God and talk to Him. And if my kids never talked to me and then they came up to me and said, Dad, can I get this from you? I'd say, why should I give that to you? The only time you ever talk to me is when you want something. Listen, I'm glad God's not like us. I'm glad He's not. I'm glad He desires and He delights in us. But guess what? He wants you to walk with Him. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Guess what? Because He loves you, when you get away from Him, you think that prodigal son didn't understand? It said when he came to himself, when he realized the circumstances were too great, he knew where he could go. He knew he could go back to the Father. And the Father would delight in His presence. Listen, God delights when you come back to Him. You say, well, I've been wayward for a while. God delights. He's waiting for you. His hand is outstretched still. He delights in you coming back to Him. He desires your presence. But guess what? Not only does He deliver, not only does He delight in us, but He also directs our path. He also directs our path. Look at in the Psalm 18 where we're at in our text. Verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is the rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. See what he said? Wait a second. God's way is perfect. Isn't that what it said in verse 30? God's way is perfect. But here in this passage, verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. You mean my way, the way that I go, can be perfect? How is that? As I go to the way that God was going. The way that God is going, His way that is perfect. I'm following Him. And because God is helping me through His truths and the Word of God, the truth that sets men free, that truth that we can rest in and walk in and follow after Him and have the attributes of God, the fruits of the Spirit. He said that we ought to have those, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All of those things. How can our way be perfect? It's by following the way that is perfect. And that's God's way. And He directs our path. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hard to walk in a dark path. How many of you have ever been in the woods without a light? You ever been in the woods without a flashlight and it got dark? It gets really dark in the woods without a flashlight. You know what? There were some woods I used to hunt when I was younger, and I knew those woods, Miss Tara, like I could walk through. I thought I could walk through them blindfolded. But it got dark one night, and we didn't have flashlights with us. And guess what? When it got dark, you can't tell which direction you're going. You don't know if you're heading back towards the house, if you're heading back the opposite way. You didn't really know which direction you're going. Praise the Lord, we chose the right direction. But it got dark. We didn't know where we were going. Why is it important? Guess what? We live in a dark world. We live in a world that we can get wandering around aimlessly in the dark and not end up going anywhere near God. We end up walking away from the world, going towards the way, we go the way of the world and away from God. Why? Because we're not letting the Word of God be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path and guiding our steps and letting Him direct us in our life. He wants to, and your way can be made perfect if you'll follow His way. He wants you to do that. And in this passage, He talks about He wants to make our way perfect. Verse 33, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon the high places. He teacheth my hands to war and so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me a shield of Thy salvation, and Thy right hand hath holden me up, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. Guess what? He wants to direct your path. He wants to direct your steps. Mom and Dad, how do you know how to raise your young ones? Let the Lord direct you. How do you get victory over sin in your life? Let the Lord direct you. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. He wants you to do that. Proverbs, if you would please. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Let's flip over there quickly, which the whole Bible is a book of wisdom. But Proverbs, I always say, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. And you get in there and start meditating on the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. See, because when we allow our heart to guide us, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you're trusting in your own heart rather than trusting in God's heart and God's way and trusting in the way of God, it's going to lead you down a path of destruction. But it said the man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord directeth his steps. He wants to give us direction in our life. Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 29. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Proverbs 21, verse 29. Look what it says. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Listen, don't harden your heart from the Lord. His way is perfect. Don't think, God, I'm going to do it my way. He said, no. Your way is going to lead you to destruction. But I'll direct your steps. I'll go before you. And you follow me. He wants to direct you. Flip back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We read this verse already, or I quoted this verse already, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So how can the darkness of our flesh end up perfect in the way that is perfect? He said, He made my way perfect. Right here. Why is it important for us to read our Bible every day? Why is it important for us to spend time with God? Because His way is perfect. His way is perfect. You say, well, I just don't agree. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you agree. This settles it. I don't think I ought to obey my mom and dad. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Does it say, children, obey your parents in the Lord when they are right? No, it says for this. What is this obedience? So say it this way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for obedience is right. You're supposed to obey. Why? Bible says so. You're supposed to obey. Guess what? Moms, dads, you're supposed to obey God. If you can't obey God, don't expect your kids to obey you. You say, well, that's kind of harsh. They follow example. They follow leadership. You say, listen, don't drink. And you start drinking. How do you expect them not to do it? You tell them, hey, I don't want you to go there or do this. And you go there and you do that. You know what they're thinking? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's the way that leads to destruction. The way that leads to death. But the way that is perfect is God's way. And He gives it to us here. And it's a shame that we have the Word of God. We have the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. And we will walk daily in the darkness of this world blindly. And we'll trip up and we'll stumble and we'll fall because we couldn't see where we were going. When He said, the Lord directeth His steps. The Lord will direct your steps. He'll show you where you need to go. Why? His way is perfect. He delivers us. He delights in fellowship with us. And He wants to direct your paths everywhere you go. You say, well, I have a decision that I need to make. Let Him direct you. Let Him direct you. Follow His leading. Follow His steps. Why? Because His way is perfect. And if you want your way to be made perfect, you need to follow Him. It's amazing, if you were to come to Reformers Unanimous, most people think you've got to be a drug addict to come to Reformers Unanimous. Guess what? You have to have a desire to grow in the Lord if you want to come to Reformers Unanimous. Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the man. That means happy. That word blessed means happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Guess why? That's a dark way. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Why? Because you're walking blindly. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But guess where we delight? It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He's saying, if you'll follow God's way, he said, delight in the Lord. We're supposed to. We're not supposed to walk in the way of darkness. We're not supposed to sit with scornful people, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He said, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. What's that mean? That means you have a constant food source. A constant food source. You're planted by the rivers of water. He said, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there's an ingredient to be happy and prosperous. To have your way made perfect. Delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate upon it. Follow it. Let it be your food. Let it be your guide. Walk in it. Don't just pick it up on Sunday and say, well, I'm going to church today. Every day you ought to spend time in the Word of God. Why? Because He delights in fellowship with you. He wants to direct your steps. He wants to help deliver you from the bondage of sin upon your life. And the only way that can happen is if you're walking in the strength of the Lord. Because, friend, I'm no match for Satan. And you're no match for Satan. But I know one that makes him tremble. I know one that can defeat him. And that's God. And if you're walking in His way, He delights in that fellowship. He directs your path. He finds joy that His people are getting victory. He has pleasure in His people. Listen, God's way is perfect. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says. Trust this book. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Don't take the words because I said them. Go back to Scripture. Look up the verses. God delights in you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to help you. If you're here and you're lost today, God wants to deliver you from hell. Just trust Him. Don't believe the lie that you've got to be good enough or you've got to do this. You just come to God and let Him clean you up from the inside out. That's where He starts His work. Brother Doug was mentioning that this morning. You don't have to wait to get good enough to come to God because there's none good but one, and that is God. And until you have the one who is holy and the one who is just and the one who is righteous living inside of you, then we are incapable of doing it. Why? Because we're sinners. And we're flesh. I never had to teach my kids how to do wrong. They were born that way. I had to teach them how to do right. And guess what? We were born sinners. Guess what we knew how to do? Sin. And God had to direct our steps and teach us through His Word how to get the victory. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around today. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Cole, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die right now, I do not know